Well, good evening, church. It is a joy to be with you, and I'm excited to open God's Word together. Let's pray before we begin and ask the Lord for help. Father, we pray and we ask that you would give us wisdom to understand this passage. Would you make Christ sweet to us, and would you glorify your name through our time together? And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, everyone loves a rags-to-riches story. We love to make much of those who pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and overcome the odds by means of devotion, hard work, and gritty persistence. Take, for example, J.K. Rowling, a former secretary and once single mom who at one point relied on public financial assistance to support herself and her daughter. During that season of her life, which she would testify as an especially difficult one, both professionally and personally, she would regularly spend time on a writing project. That writing project, as you likely know, would later be known to the world as the Harry Potter series. Her persistent hard work and a timely opportunity would lead to her career taking off and her life never being the same. Though once unknown to the world, she is now a household name. Though once poor, she is now wealthy. Once rags, now riches. But I wonder, do we have a similar respect for stories that might start like this, but don't quite share the same storybook ending? Do we value contentment in the face of hardship as much as we value the overcoming of hardship? These are good questions to consider as we look at our passage in Philippians this evening. Our text can be found either in your handout or in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. And as you're turning there, I'd just like to set the stage with a brief bit of context. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter while imprisoned in Rome. He wrote it to the church at Philippi, a church he helped found earlier on, which you can read more about in Acts chapter 16. The affection between Paul and this church runs deep, as these believers have served as financial partners with Paul in his ministry, and they have sent even one of their own to serve alongside him, thinking of Epaphroditus in chapter 2. This letter, written to encourage and instruct these Philippian believers, has much to say about how Christians are to live in light of who Christ is and what he's accomplished. In fact, to summarize many of these themes, we've been working from the following main idea for the book as a whole, that as citizens of heaven, Christians are to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. With these things now in view, let's read our passage for this evening. Philippians 4, 10 to 13. Paul writes, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." To summarize these verses into one main idea, I would say this. Christians learn joyful contentment by looking to Christ, the source of their strength. Again, Christians learn joyful contentment by looking to Christ, the source of their strength. As we move to unpack this main idea further, I plan to take a look at each of those parts individually. Firstly, we'll explore this idea of joyful contentment in verses 10 to 12, and then secondly, we will explore Christ as the source of our strength in verse 13. These two parts will serve as my main points for the remainder of our time together. So let's begin by looking at point one. Christians are to learn joyful contentment. Notice how Paul begins here in verse 10. Paul starts this section of the letter by saying, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Naturally, our question then becomes, why is it that Paul is rejoicing? Well, as we keep reading in verse 10, we find that Paul's joy in the Lord here is anchored in the fact that the Philippians have continued to show care for him, even as he faces imprisonment. Knowing that Paul has recently been arrested, these believers are worried about their brother. They're worried about the man who was instrumental in establishing the church they're now a part of. Observing their care for him and possessing a tender love for these saints, Paul seeks to put their minds at ease, and he does so by explaining he has all that he needs. We see this in verse 11, where he says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need." Paul then elaborates and gives the basis for why he's not in need. And despite what we or the Philippians might be led to believe, he says in the second half of verse 11, "For I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content." Notice how Paul sheds little light on the specifics of his current situation, namely that his contentment... Notice how Paul sheds little light on the specifics of his current situation, but he sheds ample light on a reality that extends beyond his current situation, namely that his contentment, his ability to endure what many would consider bleak circumstances, is the means by which he no longer has need. And then almost as if to double-click on that word content from verse 11, Paul further explains in verse 12 when he says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Like a child who maintains enduring confidence in the love of her parents when she is sometimes told no and sometimes told yes, sometimes rebuked and sometimes celebrated, sometimes disciplined and sometimes rewarded, it's clear here that Paul's confidence in God's love and care extends well beyond his immediate circumstances. And Paul did not just wake up one special morning as a master of this type of contentment. No, this contentment had to be learned. An absolute juggernaut of the faith, and yet Paul here makes clear that his own contentment came by way of process. As a result of all the times he faced plenty and faced little, and as a result of all the times he was brought low or raised up, Paul describes these things as the means through which he learns his contentment. So to my brother or my sister that's here, what do you do when you are brought low? How do you respond when life doesn't just throw you a curveball, but instead throws a fastball off your chin? You may resonate with feelings like this even this evening. And to you, I can only say this. Contentment will not come easily, but it only can come by looking beyond your circumstances and beholding Christ. When you are lacking in your ability to see Christ through the fog of your circumstances, share that with someone. Ask a trusted believer to help you see Christ and the proof of his love for you. Never stop running to God's word or to the throne of grace, and do so alongside other Christians. But what if you're here and you find yourself on the mountaintop? As you abound, as you receive the greatest joys and gifts of this life, remember that any earthly abundance devoid of Christ is not true abundance. Whereas the fog of sorrow can blind the believer who is hurting, the fog of self-reliance is what can blind the believer facing abundance. Remember that Christ is the fountain from which all good flows, and we must be careful not to forget this. Aim to be content in any and every circumstance, whether you are brought low or whether you abound, and know that Jesus himself is the source of your strength. Which now brings us to that second point. Christians must look to Christ, the source of their strength. And undoubtedly, Philippians 4:13 is a verse that has been widely misunderstood and often taken out of context. And just to clear the air, this verse is not talking about the game-winning shot of your JV basketball game. This verse is worth so much more than that. In verse 12, Paul says he has learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Here in verse 13, Paul lets the Philippians in on what that secret is. He says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." The secret to Paul's contentment then becomes clear. It is that Jesus Christ is the source of his strength. So Paul speaks of his ability here to do all things through Christ who gives him strength. When he does so, what exactly does he have in mind? Well, I think John Piper explains this well in his little book, Risk is Right. He says, all things means I can suffer through him. I can suffer hunger through him who strengthens me. I can be destitute of food and clothing through him who strengthens me. If we starve, he will be our everlasting, life-giving bread. If we are shamed with nakedness, he will be our perfect, all-righteous apparel. If we are tortured and made to scream in our dying pain, he will keep us from cursing his name and will restore our beaten body to everlasting beauty. If you find yourself in Christ again today, I hope you realize that it is the Lord keeping this promise to you. You remain in Christ, not because you are strong, but because he is. You might be battered or bruised or crawling toward heaven at a snail's pace, but if you are in Christ today, realize he is the one who holds you there. No matter how weak you may feel, Christ will indeed supply the strength you need to face all things. And yet, if you are here and you would not call yourself a Christian, I wonder where it is you look for strength. What is it you do when that perceived source of strength is threatened or taken away? Wherever it is you may look, I pray you would come to see that any sense of strength apart from Christ is but a fleeting illusion. Jesus Christ does not require strength from anyone that would come to him, but he provides it for them. Apart from Christ, you will remain in your sin, powerless to overcome it, and you will be left longing for strength you will never truly find. So I encourage you today, turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Make him the Lord of your life and know lasting strength that comes from outside of yourself and in him. So while it's great that for J.K. Rowling, her season of struggle eventually gave way to triumph, the same is not promised to everyone else. For this one story of success, how many stories of prolonged hardship remain untold? For how many do the rags never turn to riches in this life? UBC, what about us? Why should we even make contentment our aim? How do we practice contentment in every circumstance? The reality is that for most of us, this life will not hold the happy ending of a cinematic rags-to-riches story. But for any Christian, a life of rags, whether they are material, financial, relational, or physical, will undoubtedly give way to everlasting riches at the day of Christ, when the lowly will be fully and finally lifted up. So as we face struggle and as we face hardship, as we are brought low and as we abound, may we learn the secret of contentment. May we learn the lesson of joyful contentment by looking to Christ, the source of our strength.